Father, we just thank you for another wonderful evening at your feet. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your own mighty, powerful, wonderful Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us, who is present with us, teaching us, leading us, guiding us into all truth, and even showing us things to come. We thank you, Lord, because our ability is not of ourselves, but is of you. You have made us able ministers of this new covenant, and not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. So, Lord, we ask that you come and take control this evening. Speak through us, open our ears to hear you, and help us to be hearers and doers of your word, so that we may be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're looking at the book of James. This was the same. James chapter 1. And we will start from verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Praise the Lord. Now, we're looking at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And in verse 25, he says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we see two things here. A hearer of the word in verse 23. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. And then in verse 25, he says, he being not a forgetful, but a doer of the work. So we have hearing, a doer of the word, and a doer of the work. And the word leads us to the work. Once we do the word, we're doing the work. And it says, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And like we said the last time I ministered on this same paragraph, this might just be a continuation. It says, deceiving his own self. And it says, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, in verse 25, he be not a forgetful hearer. So we have the perfect law of liberty, you look into it, you continue therein, and you do not forget, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So what brings the blessing is doing the word. So if you don't do the word, no matter what you know, no blessing. But if you do the word, you hear and do, then you are blessed. So let's quickly look at what our Lord Jesus Christ himself says about this. In Matthew 12, verse 50, when he was asked, he says,
15 or 50? 50.
Okay. He says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. So we hear our Lord Jesus Christ himself telling us that your brothers and sisters are out there asking after you. He says, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Whosoever doeth the will of God. So he emphasizes the doing. Then in Luke 28, he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. So those are two vital words from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then in John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. You see, they follow me. So my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. So again, it's a question of doing. And finally, we have again, it says in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. And then in the Old Testament, we have 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. So that was when Saul, the prophet, told him, destroy all of them. Don't keep any flock, any sheep, anything. And Agag, their king, kill him completely. But he spared the king. He spared the choicest sheep. And when they asked him, they said, why did you do that? He said, oh, I wanted to sacrifice it to the Lord, and the people wanted it. He had an excuse. But the prophet told him, said, no, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So again, from the Old Testament all the way to the New, we see the emphasis on obedience. God expects us to obey. Now, this is the crux of the matter. How do I obey God? How do I obey God? Now, we know that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And what is that? A gift. The only begotten Son of God is given to us as a gift. We have not deserved it. We have not worked for it. God's love for us, he gave his only begotten Son. Now, John 3:16, he's giving us. Now, he says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. So now we have been given a gift. We have received the gift. Immediately we received that gift, as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. So the question is, have you received him? Once you receive him, God's word doesn't lie. You now have power to be the son of God. Now, what have you received? John 6:63-64, it says, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profited nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So to the ordinary man on the street, these words were reading and saying, oh, they're just the Bible. No, it is spirit and it is life. And we must remember that Jesus himself is the word of God, as stated in Revelation. So what we are doing now is that we're receiving Jesus Christ. We're receiving the word of God. So it tells us that the flesh profits nothing. The flesh will not help us. So we now get to the Apostle Paul. He's addressing the Galatians. He says in Galatians 3:13, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? How did you begin? You received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. How did you receive him? You received him by faith. We're saved by faith. And that true grace is a gift of God. So you received him as your Savior. Now, who have you received? The one by whom all things were made. the one for whom all things were made, the Alpha and the Omega. Our pastor has continually ministered on the exalted position of Jesus Christ, being equal with the Father, being God himself. That's whom we have received today. So you can imagine what that does to us if it settles down in our innermost being, that we have received the Son of God. We now have power to be the sons of God. And this is taking us somewhere, because the doing of God's work is the problem for many of us. Like the Apostle Paul said, "Are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the spirit. Are you going to be made perfect in the flesh?" Galatians 3:13. And this was my own experience. You come in as a believer, you are saved. You know there's a God. You want to do so many great things for him. So before you know it, you now start fasting. You now start praying. I'm not saying fasting and praying is not good. And you want to do so many things. You want to attain these things. But you see yourself failing. And then you begin to wonder. Some even get to lose hope. Some start hiding the sin. They can't live that victorious Christian life. So they pretend they know everything, but they are not doers of the word. Why? Because they do not know how to be doers of the word. They try to be doers in their own strength, in the flesh. And Paul is telling, "Are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the spirit. Are you now made perfect in the flesh?" So let's look at Philippians 2:13. It says, "It is God that works in you to will and to do his good pleasure." So we see now that you can't do it in your own strength. God is the one who works in each and every one of us to will and to do his good pleasure. And then we look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, 36:27, "I will put my spirit within you." That's the Lord speaking. "And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my statutes and do them." So again, the responsibility is God saying, "I will do it." But then we ask ourselves, if God is going to do it, does that mean I will just sit down and do nothing? So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, "Of God are you in Christ Jesus." Of God are you in Christ Jesus. Now, think of it. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now we have received him, we have become sons of God. So Paul is telling us that of God, God has made us to be in Jesus Christ. And he's now telling us, he goes on in that first verse, says, "And Jesus Christ has been made unto you wisdom, sanctification, redemption, righteousness." You don't have to attain any righteousness of your own. You don't have to attain any wisdom of your own. You don't have to attain redemption by yourself or sanctification. God has placed you in Christ Jesus. You remember in Ephesians, he repeats the same thing. He says, "We are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus." Then in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." So the beauty is that we are in Jesus Christ. And he has been made all of these things unto us. So how do I do the works of God? You remember he says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word," in verse 23, "and not a doer, he's like a man unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." So you now know all these things. I'm born of God. I'm in Christ Jesus. He has been made unto me wisdom. He has been made unto me salvation, sanctification. Is my righteousness. How do I do this work he has called me to do? So, what is the answer to that? Let us now look at our Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the answer. Let's look at 1 John, the book of John, the Apostle John in chapter 15. Our Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So if we stop here at this verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself speaking. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So what is he saying? Abide in me. And look at the analogy. A vine and the branches. You can see the union. Now, what effort does the branch make to bear fruit? It just abides. It only abides. And that's why Paul told the Galatians, foolish Galatians, haven't begun in the spirit. What effort did you make to be saved? You received. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I received him and I became a son of God. Now, how do I live? You live by faith. Having begun in the spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? Is it now going to be your efforts? Did you get born again by your efforts? So he's calling us, abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. So if we go back to that second, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ has been made unto me wisdom. That's of God, I mean Christ. Christ has been made unto me wisdom. Who, if I may ask, is wiser than me? Christ has been made unto me wisdom. Do I receive him as my wisdom? And so, let's go back to James chapter 1. Now, James is writing this letter. He says, James, in verse 1, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He says we should ask without wavering. Do you lack wisdom? Now, you can imagine the situation these people were in. They've been scattered from Jerusalem. These are the first converts. Now, they've lost their homes. They have lost their home country. They've gone all over, the 12 tribes. But God did this so that the gospel could spread to us. Now, James is writing from the headquarters to comfort them. He says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So if you're abiding in Christ, you know he's been made wisdom unto you, but you don't seem to get a clear picture of what to do. Stand fast. Continue to abide. Don't doubt. Don't shake. Don't let the circumstances shake you. So he's saying, and let patience have a perfect work. So another scripture says, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's not enough to have faith. You must also have patience. He says, let patience have its perfect work. You are in diverse troubles. We know you've left your home. You're going through difficulties. Let patience have its perfect work. And now in such a situation, if you lack wisdom, you don't know what to do about what you are going through, ask God.
ask God, he will definitely give you. And our Lord Jesus Christ, one thing I've discovered is that nothing any of the apostles says is contrary to what our Lord Jesus Christ said. He said it first. They only repeat what he says. In that John 15:7, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You see, he wants us to bear fruit. And he says, abide in me. And he says, if you abide in me, you will ask what you will. It will be done unto you. So he says, in James now, James says, be patient. If we look at the vine, for example, now, and the tree, the fruit doesn't come overnight. It takes some process. And another scripture says, when you dig and you plant, you water, you don't see anything. You continue going there, watering it. Then one day there's a sprout. And before you know it, there's a stem. Before you know it, there's a big tree with loads of fruits. Patience had its perfect work. So now we're talking about what to do, how to be a doer. And we've discovered that it is a question of abiding. Because God says, if you ask, I will do it. But then you know that what he wants is for you to bear fruit. So what are you going to ask for? Are you going to ask for things that will not make you bear fruit? So that's why James said, some of you ask and you don't receive. Because you ask amiss. You ask to consume it on your lust. But let us go on. He says, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then he goes on to deal with two major issues in this life. The rich man and the poor man. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You don't have money, things are difficult, rejoice. You are exalted, you are in Christ. Now, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. You are very rich. You are so pompous, you think, oh, there's nobody like me. I'm an aristocrat. I have millions. I have landed property. He says, but the rich in that he is made low. Why? Because as the flower of the grass shall pass away. So no matter the wealth you have, let's assume you live long, so long. Can you live up to 200 years? So the money won't help you. Like we heard this morning in the sermon. You came with nothing, you will live with nothing. A shroud has no pockets. So these two people are dealt with. He says, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So even if you go back into history and see the very rich, how they've lived, the emperor of France and his wife Josephine, who when they told her that the poor people have no bread to eat, he said, what? Why don't they have cake? Because in her wildest imagination, you don't have bread, eat cake, of course. But these poor people who can't even afford bread, she's taking them because she doesn't have any inkling of what they're going through. But that generation has passed away. The ballrooms, the big gowns, the exquisite lifestyle, it's gone. They're all gone. It's all history. So he says, blessed is that man that endureth temptation. There'll be trials of our faith. He says, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. So this is the rejoicing aspect for every believer. There is a prize in what we're doing. People might not understand you. You say, Jesus is the vine and the branch. But you are telling them that there is a prize. So when I'm tried, and I endure that temptation, I will receive, if I do not fail, the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. So you see again that it's based on your love for God. That's why you don't shake no matter what is going on around you. No job, no money, no house. You are telling people Jesus is Lord. He's a good God. I love him. You are spreading the gospel in such circumstances. The worst things happen to you, you love those people that do it to you. Why? Because you love the Lord. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. But when the trials come, you've been sent away from your home country, you are dispersed, things are difficult in a strange land, and you turn your back. James is saying, no. The trying of your faith works patience. Then he now goes on, because some will now say, I couldn't help myself. He says, no, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. He says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. So James now tells us the real truth that we must all know, because it is the Holy Spirit speaking. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And remember, the word of God says, we that are born again, we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's why there's corruption in the world. But why have we escaped? Because we have Christ. By him were all things made. There was nothing made that was not made by him. Paul told the Corinthians, all things are yours. And I like that scripture so much. He said, even life and death belongs to you. Why, you some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo. He said, no, all things belong to you. Why? Because you are in Christ. Now, the prodigal son, one went away. The father said, come back. When you come back, you are in your senses, there's still enough for you. The other one stayed at home. Why did you give him that? He's wasted everything. There's enough for everybody. All that is mine is yours. And this was a testimony I was sharing this morning. I was going one day, maybe on the usual trip to Waitrose. Makes me think. So I thought, how good God is. It's very difficult for me in the flesh to raise somebody to my own level. I will always keep him a step beneath me. I'm the one who is raising him. But God made us in his image and in his likeness. He didn't make us less. In his own very image and likeness, we fell. Now, in restoring us, he even made us better. Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, is the express image of God. Now, what did God do? He created us in Jesus Christ. Shame on the devil. Now, we can agree with Jesus that I'm the vine, Lord Jesus says, you are the branches. The vine is in the branch is in the vine. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You are in me. You will bear fruit. So, Isaiah says, who can believe our reports? Who can believe what God is? That's the unbelief. That's why we can't enter that rest. That we are now united with the Son of God. But let's go on. He says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You remember Eve with the apple? Oh, was it an apple? The fruits. It says, then when lust had conceived, you see, the temptation comes, you are weighing it in your head, calculating it, looking at this side, looking at that side, thinking, how do I go through it? It says, when it is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There is no sin that doesn't have a repercussion. That is what the devil wants to make us believe today, that you can continue to sin and repent, and nothing. No, there is death at the end of it. He says, do not err, my beloved brethren. There's a scripture that says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. So as far as God is concerned, he doesn't change. The God we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's only we now that we have to stand. Now, this is the best news in verse 18. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So you see, we are born of the word. Who is the word? Jesus Christ is the word. So, that's when we now come back to that same place. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Don't get angry. Listen carefully. Don't say anything contrary to what God has said. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You are angry. I must get my own back. I must do this. Look at what he has done to me. He can't do the work of God. You are going out of the way. Then he now tells us, after telling us why we should not be tempted, that temptation is not from God. It is you going out of the way, and the result is death. On the other hand, if you stand with God, there's a prize, life, and a crown. Jesus Christ said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Eternal life. What will we give up for that? Nothing. Now he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness. Now, you see, the believer has filthiness. The believer has superfluity of nothingness. It's normal. But you will say, no, I want to be what God has made me to be. I've looked at the mirror. I've seen the kind of person I am. This is not for me. Jesus is the vine. I'm the branch. I have wisdom. I'm not stupid. I am sanctified. He's been made unto me sanctification. I am righteous. So you don't say what he doesn't say about you. Otherwise, you are calling him a liar. Oh, I'm trying to be holy. I'm not holy. No, the Bible says he has been made unto us righteousness. Now, we go on. So you lay it apart. You say no more. Filthiness, superfluity of nothingness. Then now again, we receive. Receive, and this is where we're coming to. With meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So you see, you were born of the indestructible seed of the word of God, which he says in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We were born of the word. Now he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now what is meekness? Humility. Without me, Jesus Christ said, you can do nothing. Receive it. I can't even be wise without Jesus Christ. I can't overcome this besetting sin without Jesus Christ. I cannot even know what is my calling in life without Jesus Christ. I can't even eat without Jesus Christ. So I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord. Now, as many have received him, he gave power to be the sons of God. Thank you, Lord, for the power. Now, I can lay aside that filthiness. This is not me. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Immorality, lust, unforgiveness, bitterness, they've passed away. Because that's what Jesus Christ said. I'm now in the true vine. I'm the branch. I'm bearing fruit. I have peace. I have joy. The Prince of Peace is the vine. So we stand on this. We're looking at that mirror and seeing who we are. We are not forgetful hearers. Then he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So I will now conclude by looking at that engrafted word. In Romans 11:24, it says, if they were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, if thou were cut out from the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted into a contrary, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. He was talking about the Jews here and us. He says, we are in the wild olive tree, but God grafted us into this good olive tree, contrary to our very nature. So you see, again, this is what Jesus said. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Once you are in that vine, you must bear fruit, and the fruit will be the fruit of the vine. You cannot have a mango tree bearing pawpaw. It's not possible. So what we're bearing is what we're attached to. And it says, if you fail to abide in me, there's a danger, there's a consequence. My father is the husband's man who will cut you off. And if he cuts you off, you will be used for firewood. Then he says, I am the light of the world. Then he says, we also are the light of the world. Telling you that I'm the vine, you are the branch. Let your light so shine that men may see it and glorify God. So it's not about our struggling and efforts. It is about our believing. Then when we believe, it will translate to action. Brothers and sisters, every action we take, if I tell a lie, it's because there's something I believe. Maybe the person I'm talking to, I believe that if I tell him the truth, something else will happen. So I choose to lie based on a belief. If I wake up in the morning, I'm going to school because I believe there's a school there and I've decided to go there. So we'll conclude by looking at that wonderful Romans chapter 6, wherein we're told that there's no excuse to live in sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, no. How can we, being dead to sin, continue therein? We're children of God now. We're in the fruitful vine. And it's not by striving to overcome sin. It's just agreeing with God. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So if we look at Romans 6:16, it takes us back to Adam and Eve. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So it says, the same man looks at the mirror. Being a forgetful hearer, he forgets the kind of person he is. He goes away and starts living anyhow. So now, when you look at it, that see what God has done, and Satan comes and says, do this, you weigh both of them. We do it all the time. We now choose. And he says, don't say when you are tempted, it was God that made it happen. No, you made that conscious decision. At this time, I'm going to leave God. I will go to the enemy. But yes, God is good. He's merciful. But now we know. He says in 17, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Brothers and sisters, this night we want to thank God we're delivered. We are in a very wonderful place, united with God's Son. He's living his life through us. All we have to do is agree with him, trust him. And as we continue to trust him, he's the Prince of Peace. Our whole life is radiating peace. He's the healer, like our sister prayed this evening. No sickness is too hard for him. Lazarus was 3 days dead. He raised him up. And he has a plan for each individual life, like our sister said. And our pastor has always preached. Christ is the head. We are members of the body. There's a union. Each person cannot play the other person's role. The liver cannot play the role of the kidney. The kidney cannot play the role of the liver. The liver cannot fight the kidney. The small intestine cannot fight the large intestine. All of us are a unity, knitted together, doing the work of our Father and our head, Jesus Christ. So let us thank God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. We ask, O Lord, that you help us to be hearers and doers of your word, receiving this word and living it out. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.